Temple of the Winds by James Follett. Read by Nigel Anthony.
Vicky Taylor saw the long shadow cast across the rutted lane by the late afternoon sun and froze. Her heart felt as though it were trying to smash through her ribcage. She kept perfectly still, and so did the shadow. The cosy, familiar surroundings of the West Sussex countryside that she had known all her life underwent a profound change. The sunlight, reflected from the puddles left by the storm of 3 nights ago, became a harsh, unnatural glare, and the chatter of birds in the hedgerows died away. A man stood, hidden by the girth of an old oak, some 20 metres ahead. Supposing there really had been a UFO that had landed during Tuesday night's storm, several people claimed to have seen something dropping from the sky. A sharp downward push on the palm of her artificial left hand caused its articulated fingers to tighten their grip on the handlebars of her bike. She backed away without taking her eyes off the strange shadow. 10 paces. 20 paces. A new distant sound caused the ground to shake with a primeval, savage beat, a sound she had never heard before in her 15 years, and yet she knew what it was. 500 warriors beating their assegais on their ox-hide shields and stamping. One beat for every spirit being avenged by the war party. How do I know this? The rich storm-soaked colours of the English countryside swam around her. The northern slopes of the South Downs dissolved into a vista of yellowing elephant grass and red soil. She concentrated on placing one foot before the other, eyes fixed straight ahead to where the owner of the shadow would soon come into view. And then the warrior was before her. It was a face that she knew. The man made flesh. The liquid eyes watching her were neither threatening nor welcoming. Apart from the crane feather headdress, he was naked. The long pointed shield that he held in front of him was covered in the finest leopard skin, the broad blade of his assegai sandstone polished. Vicky reached up on tiptoe and touched his chin. He made no move. She traced the line of his forehead and drew her fingertip down the bridge of his nose. She moved closer and realized with a distant shock that she had feeling through the prosthetic fingertips of her left hand. Panic seized her. He was fading. She reached forward to embrace him, but it was too late. A shimmering outline that blended with the distant hills, and he was gone. The sun went in and the blinding glare on the yellow bush was no more. The elephant grass took on the brilliant greens of spring, and she found herself staring south towards the hills. Her left hand took on its customary leaden weight. Behind her, an approaching diesel engine slowed to a tick-over. An old-fashioned bulb horn sounded. David Weir leaned out of the cab of his antique tractor and grinned down at her. 5 years previously, he had sold his share in a Westminster art gallery and bought the run-down Temple Farm. Another gentleman farmer, said the locals. He turned the farm into a living rural museum, a source of friction between himself and some fellow councillors on Pentworth Council. Hello, Vicky. Vicky gripped the handlebars tightly with her good hand to control her trembling. He leaned forward to study her left hand. Is that the new one? Amazing. You never know. The tractor rumbled off, splashing through storm puddles. Vicky started walking. Something made a noise behind her, and she turned, catching a fleeting glimpse of a multi-legged shadow darting under a hedge.
Oh, God, I am seeing things today.
10 minutes later, deep in thought and unaware that she was being followed by the strange device, she arrived home. The crab-like machine took cover under a hedge and completed its transmission of data.
Mind my floor, Anne Taylor called as her... Sample complete. Ready to continue?